looking at the last chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 16. And Romans chapter 16 is a bit repetitive. It has this Greek word. It has this Greek word. You can see the top yellow word. That is it from the Greek alphabet. And it says aspazome. Aspazome. And this word appears, some of you, if you've got a Bible, you may want to check with me, but I counted 22 times that this word or a derivative of it word appears in Romans chapter 16. Because if you've got your Bibles, you could look and see what this word is. It's the word greetings or greet or say hi. So I thought that would be a really good thing to do. And so I thought I would try and think all the ways that we greet people and say hi. Because obviously it's very important because it appears 21 times in one chapter in the Bible. So does anyone know what this is a greeting from? Shalom. Anyone know where that's a greeting? What language that's a greeting in? Hebrew. So if you meet a Jew, you can say shalom, and that's a greeting to them. What about hola? Spanish. So we got any Spanish speakers? I don't think we have. We've got over there. So hola, is that the right word? Best one to use? Okay, ciao. I think that one needs to go off, Graham, because I'm getting feedback. Ciao. Italian, there we are. Salute. French. Wow. And then I thought I'd put in, I don't know whether I can say it, Private Dobry den. Ukrainian. So if we get, and I know a number of Ukrainian families may be joining this area, you need to learn Privet Dobry den, or however it's meant to be pronounced, as a way of saying hi, greetings. But sometimes we greet in another way. And using our phones, we can greet one another using emojis. And so I've discovered some new emojis. Don't know where they're used. They're the traditional three ones that you use to say hello normally. Is that right? Bethany, you must use emojis. Is that right? Are they the three you would use to say hello to someone? If you just wanted to text someone and say hello to someone. Okay, so what I want you to do, get your mobile phones out, if you've got one, and I want you to send an emoji to someone on your mobile phone to say hello, greetings. Say, hello, I'm at church. I dare you to say, I'm at church. Lovely. Okay, go on then, off you go. If you're on Zoom, you may want to just greet one another and unmute yourselves for a moment and just say hello to one another, or you could send a text as well. Because it's important to greet people. So who are you going to greet on your phone? Who are you going to say, hello, I'm at church, hope you're okay, or something like that? That would be great. And if anyone gets an interesting reply during the service, let me know, because I will be intrigued. It's very important to greet people, because Romans 16 is all about saying hi to people. So actually, it's also important as recognizing saying hello is important. This Romans 16 chapter, a lot of people dismiss and say, it's not really important. It doesn't really matter. But there is a commentator called Brunner who actually says of it, this is one of the most instructive chapters of the New Testament. It's a list of names and greetings. How can it be one of the most instructive chapters of the New Testament? He goes on to say, because it encourages personal relationships of love in the church. Because the church is made out of named people. It's made out of you and me, and we're meant to greet one another. And actually, there's a verse in chapter 16 that says, verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. We're meant to be intimate. We're meant to be friendly. We're meant to get on with one another. We're meant to be family together. And so what I want you to do, I know it's COVID, so I'm not going to suggest you greet one another with a holy kiss, but I suggest you elbow one another or fist bump one another or say, how are you? And then I want you to ask them, how many places have they lived? How many different places have they lived, and have they ever lived overseas? And I want you to find that out. Do it on Zoom as well. We're family. We're named people. Let's welcome another and take the challenge. Perhaps do it with someone you don't know or haven't met. You are allowed to stand up, but be aware. Don't get too close because of COVID. People still worried about, but let's greet one another. Okay, it's good to be family together. Oh, it's nice to greet and love and care because we love one another. We are family. And there's this lovely verse in Romans 16, which reminds us why we are family. I've got some missing words. I wonder whether you can work out what the missing words are, because it reminds us why we are family. The message or the gospel, which the whole of Romans was about, I preach, Paul says. It is the message about. Oh, you've got the first one. The message about Jesus Christ. The eternal God commanded that this message be known. God wanted all the nations to obey him by trusting in him. May the only wise God receive glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. We are family. We are friends. We greet one another because we've heard this message of Jesus Christ. We've come to obey it and follow it, and therefore it gives glory to God through Jesus. And that's why we worship together. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship and celebrate that we are named people. We know each other. We love each other. We greet one another because of Jesus Christ. I love the church in Albania from A to B, which is the Jesus Brought Us Together Church. They call themselves the J-Butt Church. Isn't that great? We are come together because of Jesus, and we worship him. Brilliant. So God is good, and he loves us, and he, like that coin, when he finds us, when we become part of his family, he celebrates. And when someone becomes part of his family, he calls a party and they celebrate. And that's what church is. That's what church is. It's a party every Sunday celebrating with those people that Jesus has called to be part of his family. And so that's why we love letting people know about Jesus. Now, we're going to sing a song in a minute called The Goodness of God, as we recognize God's love and goodness of us. And at the end of it, if anyone wants to share a testimony of either some healing from last week or some answers to prayer, there's opportunity, like Raj did, to share God's goodness and love to us. But while we sing this song, what you could also do is, in some of these trays dotted around, we've got some coins. And various coins, some really old, some from different countries. And you may want to look at those coins and recognize that these coins, they're important. They're my coins, and I like them, and they're valuable to me. And just like that, you are valuable and loved to God. But then what I want you to do is, if you can, there's some crayons, and you can do some rubbing on them, and you can rub them onto the paper. And you will see that when you rub it onto the paper, it's quite good like the coin, but it's not quite the same as the real thing. And that's why when we are lost, the Bible says that we're all made in the image of God. But actually, when we wander away from God, that image is marred and not good. And God wants to put the true image, let us be the real valuable thing. And so when you rubbed it, what I want you to do is, I want you to write on the back of it someone who's not part of this church, someone who's not part of this amazing family, someone who hasn't yet come to know that God has found them and that his image in them is a bit not as it should be. And then you can write their names on it, and then I want you to take it home, and I want you to pray for them. and pray that they will come and know God. And so I want you to do that if you want. And you can do, I put these big strips of paper because in Thy Kingdom Come, they want us to think about five people that we are going to pray for. And so you can come and do five and write five names. And you can do that. Oh, I'm going to lose the coin in a minute. And you're going to come and you can pray for them. Is that right? Do you know how to do it? So you put the coin under the bit of paper and you rub with a crayon over the top of it. And then you should see the image on there. And then on the other side, write a name of someone that you want to be part of this family, who you want to know that Jesus loves them and His image is true in them. Okay. Because actually, when we look at Romans 16, the first name we read is someone called Phoebe. We read, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. Now, on this list of names, Phoebe, she comes from a place called, I don't know how you pronounce it, Crunchy, something like that, and it's a Greek port. She lived in Greece, which was on the edge of Corinth, is where Paul would have met her, and we read about Phoebe. What else do we know about her? Is Phoebe is likely to most likely to be the one who took the letter that Paul wrote on all these scrolls. It wouldn't have been quite as simple as a little book. On the scrolls, she would have carried them from Corinth and would have taken them to Rome. Why was she going to Rome, I wonder? Well, we know that she was on her way because she needed help. We know that she was a rich person, so it could have been business. The Greek word actually may indicate she could have been on a lawsuit, actually either prosecuting someone or dealing something, but it was to do with her business. And here she was carrying this most important letter on business or a lawsuit. She carried it to Rome. We're told that she was a servant, a deacon, probably a deaconess, though we're not quite sure if they were in place at that time. But the idea that she was a servant of the church, a leader within the church, and she was there as a businesswoman seeking to be, take this letter. We also read that she was one of Paul's benefactors. In other words, she was wealthy, so that's why we think she had a business. And she was supporting not only Paul, we read, but others, the benefactor of many people. So here we have this lady Phoebe, part of a church, a businesswoman, a wealthy businesswoman, and she was using her situation, her circumstances, her money for the good news of Jesus. Wow, what a lady. And we don't hear about Phoebe. Rachel got her, brilliant. But Phoebe, but here she stands as someone who is one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, who she used her situation, used her workplace, used her money for the gospel of Jesus. She's not the only one here. We read of Priscilla and Aquila. Someone had Priscilla back there. They're mentioned in this list as well. And Priscilla and Aquila, they were taken from Rome, and so they took their business and they took it overseas where they met Paul. And then when the Jews were allowed to return, they came back. And we read that they risked their lives for Paul. They used their business, their situation for the gospel. And then at the end of the chapter, we read of something called Erastus, who was a magistrate in charge of the works in Corinth. We reckon that we've got an inscription of his name in Corinth. He was an important figure in that town. He was a magistrate in charge of all the public works, and yet he is named here. So the challenge of these names, whatever your situation, whoever you are, use your situation, use your workplaces, use your money, use where you live, use what you do, but use it for the gospel. Use it for Jesus. And Phoebe is the great example of that. Okay, I want us to think in this chapter there was Aristobulus. And we read it was the family of Aristobulus who sends their greetings. Now, who was he? He was most likely to be the grandson of Herod the Great. Yes, Herod who murdered all those children. He was meant to be the grandson of Herod the Great. And yet the good news is that despite his family background, he is included as one of Paul's friends, as part of this church of Jesus Christ. And so therefore it reminds me that the gospel can change families. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your difficult background. It doesn't matter your parents, because the gospel can change you and bring you into the family of God. And I just love it when people come from difficult situations that they've grown up with, and they've found family very difficult, and they become part of this family of Jesus. Because the gospel is not just worth giving for and using our situation and our money and work for. The gospel is worth building on, because it changes families. There's another name in this list, someone called Rufus. Does anyone know what family Rufus was part of, most likely? Simon of Cyrene. Who is Simon of Cyrene? The man who carried the cross of Jesus. Isn't that encouraging that here we have Simon of Cyrene who carried the cross. As he carried the cross, put his faith in Jesus, because we read about Rufus's mother as well. So obviously this family, having encountered Jesus at the cross, were transformed. What did he think when he was told to carry the cross? I bet he was upset. I bet he was cross. I bet he wished he hadn't done it. But actually it changed his life and changed his family's life, because the gospel of Jesus can change your life. And so we know that within this list, there are people like Aristobulus, who was very great and rich. There's someone called Narcissus, who was part of the influencer of Emperor Claudius. And so he was likely to be part of the Caesar's household. We read about Philippians 4:22 about how there were Christians in Caesar's household, these rich, influential people. But then we also have names which are most likely to be slave names. Ampliatus, Urbanus, Hermes, Philogus. They're all names of slaves. And so we have this family made out of the rich, influential rulers, and then we're made up of the slaves and the poor and the impoverished. We have those from Rome, people who lived in Rome, were born in Rome. We have Jews who were kinsmen of Paul. And we have people from Greece, all over the world, coming together. That's the family of God, that we come from all places. And God builds us. He changes our families. And we build on Erastus. Here we have Erastus. And what do we read about Erastus? If I can find it. I've lost him. Okay, Erastus, he was the city's director of public works. I've already given you that one away, haven't I? The one who used his position. He used it and used his job, and he was a witness for him there. It is interesting how we can see these people in their situations coming together. Okay, the one I wanted to think about is someone from this passage called Junius. We read about Junius, who was one of the apostles. Again, this is one of the a lady. There's lots of ladies in this passage. It's interesting. There's Mary. There's the twins in there. And it's only interesting in this passage. It's only the ladies that are described as hardworking. I don't know whether Paul is saying something about that, but it's the ladies he recommends and greets for being the hard workers. But Junius here, probably with her husband, we read that Junius was one of the apostles, not one of the sent 12, but apostles was anyone sent out by the church to spread the good news of Jesus. But what do we read about her? We read about her and probably her husband, Andronicus, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Junus, a mature Christian lady, a leader, an evangelist, someone who went out to tell other people about Jesus, someone who was prepared to suffer for the gospel, someone who was prepared to be a prisoner for the gospel. Because what we learn, the gospel is not just worth giving our time and money for. The gospel is not just worth building our families on because it changes us. The gospel is worth suffering for. And as I speak, I have got brothers and sisters in Ukraine who are suffering but still proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Would we be prepared to suffer for the gospel? I saw a program the other night of Christians who've gone to Iran to share the good news of Jesus, and some are in prison. Are we prepared to believe that the gospel is worth suffering for? Not just giving our money for, not just giving our time for, not just giving our circumstances, not just building our families upon, but actually worth giving our lives and suffering for. That is what Junus stands for. This church, made up of these great characters, are an inspiration to us because they're part of our family as we are part of family together. But I just want to close with one other person. Verse 5, greet my dear friends, Epaenetus. Epaenetus. What was special about Epaenetus? We read who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia? Likely this is a convert of Paul who came to Christ, the first person in Asia that Paul led to Christ. Because the final thing I want to say, and this is I want to challenge you with, is the gospel is worth sharing. And what I want to ask is, who is your first convert? Can you think back of anyone that you have led to Jesus Christ? Could you say, the first convert, my first convert? Because the gospel is worth sharing. It's worth the good news. It's worth about building this family together. It's worth saying, these are my first convert. And if you can't say that, you need to pray. Choose your five people to pray for. And you need to pray that someone will come to know Jesus and you have an opportunity to share your faith with them. If you know people, pray. In your new situation, as I think back, I remember my first convert when I was probably about 8 or 9 was a little guy called Pepe. And we used to play football with him every day. He used to live up the road from me. And I used to share my faith with him when I was 8 or 9, and he gave his life to Jesus. No idea where he is, who he is, what he's doing now, but I hope I will see him in that great party to come. Pepe. I also remember as a teenager, my first convert when I did some mission. I think of it, I was so shocked. It was one of the most embarrassing things I did. I was doing some street work, and as part of a beach mission, we were on, I think it was Paignton Seafront, and I was sharing the gospel on Paignton Seafront using some word art. And as I was sharing it, as always you do, you give an invite. Anyone wants to respond, they can. This was a cold, wet day, Sunday evening. It was cold, wet. There was hardly anyone there, and I think about 2 or 3 people stopped to listen. And as I said, anyone want to put their faith in Jesus, come and take this book from me. This guy came forward and took the book from me. I was so shocked, as were the rest of my team, that we just stood there as he took the book, went off with his wife and wandered away. There was absolutely no follow-up at all, I am ashamed to say, because we were just so stunned and shocked that someone responded to Jesus in that particular environment. But I believe and hope that I will see him in heaven and he'll come to me and search me out and say, you remember when you were a teenager and you shared that? It was pretty rubbish, wasn't it? But I took a book and I believed in Jesus, and here I am. I think of my first convert in London. I think of that, and I think this is what gospel is worth sharing. Have we led people to Jesus? Because actually, these is what these names are. And if we want to see this names of list expand, we need to share our faith. And we need to take that risk. We have to give our time and our circumstances, our money, take the risk at work. We need to take the risk in our families and build our families on the gospel. We need to take the risk, even if it's going to cause us to suffer, even if God is calling us to go to a hard place where it'll be suffering. But whatever it is, Epaenetus tells us the gospel is worth sharing. Maybe you're the first convert in your family. Don't be the last. Maybe you're the first convert in your street. Don't be the last. Let us share our faith. And as we come into thy kingdom come, it is about you and me knowing that we are named, that we are part of God's family, and taking this gospel that we have loved, hopefully, going through in the book of Romans. We've studied it, we've got to grips with it, we've believed the truth of it, we see how amazing and wonderful it is, but let's not keep it for ourselves. Let's not just say, I've ticked Romans and I understand the gospel, I know what it's about. Let us be, I understand the gospel. Therefore, the gospel is the hope for all people, all nations. The gospel is the only hope for my partner, for my spouse. The gospel is the only hope for my children. The gospel is the only hope for my street. The gospel is the only hope for my country. The gospel is the only hope for Ukraine. The gospel is the only hope for Russia. The gospel is the only hope for the Middle East. So therefore, why do we put so much effort into political and getting it alongside other causes and things? Because actually, if we've understood Romans, we believe that the gospel is the only hope. So let's share it. Let's share it. Let's tell people. And let's lead people to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this amazing book of Romans. And Lord, we pray that we will be those who share this. That as Paul could mention these named people, many of which he led to faith, may when I get into glory, maybe there'll be those who I meet who through my testimony, through my witness, who I have led to Jesus Christ. That is my reward that I want in heaven. So Holy Spirit, fill me now with boldness and power to share this good news. Amen.